Are you able to hear me?
Conference recording started.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon to those of you who are on the East Coast. Good to have you with us again. This is another series in the Accessible Technology webinar series that we have been doing for a couple of years now. I am Judith Stark, an Accessible Technology Consultant for the Pacific ADA Center. And the Accessible Technology webinar series is sponsored by both the Pacific ADA Center and the Great Lakes ADA Center, both of whom are members of the ADA National Network. And a big thank you to Great Lakes for providing all the technical support for us today, too. So before we begin, a couple of housekeeping items. If you do have any questions, a reminder, please feel free to enter them into the chat area on the left of your screen. We will be monitoring them, and Jonathan, our speaker, will be responding to them either during the course of the session, or we will certainly be sure to make a note of them and answer them towards the end of the session when we do have a question and answer period. Today's session is being recorded and will be archived on the website, which is www.ada-audio.org, and you will receive an email with that link to the archive as soon as it is available. A reminder that our real-time captioning is available, so if you need that, click on that CC icon at the top of your screen. After the session, we will also be sending out a handout to you along with an evaluation survey, and we'd be very grateful if you would take a few minutes just to fill out that survey. It helps us in terms of planning sessions for our next year, which we will start to plan for fairly shortly, so that you will really experience some of the best of the experts in the field of accessible technology, and we've really had some wonderful speakers. So having said that, it is my pleasure to welcome back Jonathan Campbell, who actually this is the second time that he has been a speaker for us and a presenter. Jonathan is an assistive technology specialist for Minnesota State Services for the Blind. He helps low vision and blind Minnesotans stay independent with technology through assessments, technical assistance, and hands-on training. He's also the host of the Access Ninja podcast, which is a wonderful name, at www.access.ninja, N-I-N-J-A, where he and his co-host Rachel Maggiorio, and I apologize if I've got the pronunciation of that name wrong, they discuss assistive technology issues from the perspective of users, developers, and professionals. And before working for the state, Jonathan was the assistive technology specialist and videographer for the PESA Center's Simon Technology Center, where he performed technology consultations, workshops, and training programs for professionals and parents of children with disabilities. And while he was with PESA, he shot and produced the entire Assistive Technology in Action and Simply Said video series. And both of those series come up if you get into YouTube when you search for assistive technology. So we have the pleasure of hearing him tell us all about turning text into speech. It's a topic which comes up very often, and we're delighted to have him with us. So Jonathan, I am going to turn it over to you, and off you go.
Well, thank you very much. Well, welcome everybody. I'm Jonathan Campbell, and we're going to be talking about turning text into speech or text to speech. You've already gotten a pretty good introduction of me. My work at the state, I've been there for about a year now, and I do a lot of hands-on training and group training and individual assessments there, and text-to-speech comes up quite a bit in a couple different contexts. So for today, we're going to be talking about what is text-to-speech, and how exactly it works, and I'm going to be using a lot of real-world examples. So the world of text-to-speech is quite expansive, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of software programs and web plugins that can conform text-to-speech. But rather than giving you a gigantic list of all those apps, I'm going to restrict the presentation today to software that I see used most commonly among the clients that I work with, that I know people are finding great success with and are using on a day-to-day basis. So rather than a giant list, we're going to look at these just some of the more common and ones that I know from personal experience people are finding a lot of success first. But before we start out with that, I want to differentiate two specific types of text-to-speech tools. And that is the difference between a software program that's meant specifically for text-to-speech and one that is designed as a screen reader. Both of them perform a similar task, and that is taking digital text and reading it out loud. But they both are used in a different way. And we're going to be looking at both of these and giving specific examples of both. But before we jump in, I just wanted to mention that most of the time when we're referring to something that's text-to-speech, what it's allowing the user to do is to read text selectively on the screen out loud. So this could be taking a paragraph from a web page and having it read out loud or from a digital book. And we'll also look at some specific tools that can actually scan in printed text and then read it out loud. But usually when we're referring to text-to-speech, the user is choosing on a case-by-case what they wish to be read out loud. So this is sometimes used in a situation where someone is low vision but is able to use a magnifier to see most things on the screen and can use text-to-speech sparingly when text is too small or it's a large group of text they would prefer to have it read out loud to them. Or it could be from an individual with a print-related disability that makes it difficult to read that text, like dyslexia. When you're referring to a screen reader, we're emphasizing more on a software program that is designed to allow a blind or low vision person to use the entire computer. So that's not going to just be that paragraph on the web page, but it's going to give more information like what's the title, what are the buttons on the screen. Oftentimes if there's an image and it's on a web page, they might provide alt text where a description of that image is spoken out loud. So a screen reader is doing a lot of additional controls when it comes to how they want things read on the screen. And usually it's going to be able to read pretty much everything that's available on the screen. Now that doesn't mean that somebody with dyslexia might not use a screen reader for some specific applications. It's just most of the time those tools we're going to use more of a text-to-speech tool for someone who needs text-to-speech in a very selective situation. So we're going to look at both of these. I interact with a lot of screen readers and I do a lot of screen reading training. So I've got a strong familiarity there, but the text-to-speech is used quite often as well. So those would be straight up programs. So we're going to look at some of the ones I see people using the most. So first, we're going to look at some of those screen readers. We're going to examine the popular ones on desktop, both Mac and PC. And then we're going to be talking about some mobile screen readers, which have made a lot of progress in the last couple of years to make mobile devices accessible. Then I'm going to talk about some magnification tools that we commonly see used that also use text-to-speech. So these tools would make text larger, but will also offer a selective speech options. Then we're going to look at some built-in reading tools specifically around iOS. So that'd be on the iPad and the iPhone. I see these used an awful lot, both in school and in private use. And these are tools that are built in and are consistently being updated. And they're free to use, so it's a really good tool to know how to use. We're going to then look at some OCR apps. So that OCR standing for Optical Character Recognition. So those are going to be programs that allow you to take printed text and convert it to digital and have it read out loud. We're even going to give you a side-by-side comparison of three of the most popular OCR apps and show you what you get when you spend a little bit more, or what you get when you go with the free options. And then we're going to finish out by discussing highlight and read tools. So these are text-to-speech tools where I can be very selective what's being read on the screen. I'm going to highlight with a mouse what text I wish to be read, and the computer is going to read just that selected text out loud. So you'll see that more often used with an individual with a text-based learning disability, for example, than a vision impairment. So to jump right in here, we're going to start talking about screen readers. Now, there are a variety of screen readers out there, and we kind of detailed what those look like. But to give you an idea, if you've never experienced a screen reader before, I want to show you a quick video demonstration of how a screen reader works. And we're going to be using a specific example. We're going to be showing the JAWS in the context of navigating a web page. So this is a video that Rachel and I started working on for Access Ninja as a proof of concept for another organization. We're going to be expanding on it hopefully later, but this was just sort of a test. And so I'm going to play just two and a half minutes of this video. And if you'd like to see the video in its entirety, you can find it at that Access Ninja website, which is access.ninja, and I put a link right on the med page, right on the main page to this. Now, it's a work in progress, and it's just a proof of concept, but if you do like it, you know, leave us a comment and let us know, and we'll keep working on them. Another note, though, we just posted this last night, and so it currently does not have captions, but it will by the end of day today. So if you need captions for that video, you will have them by tomorrow morning. So I'm going to play this video to give you a quick introduction to how a screen reader using using JAWS might navigate a web page. Oh, and it looks like this video has been uploaded. It's a somewhat large video, and it looks like not everybody has received it yet. I just went to go and play it. So rather than waiting for that to load or coming back to it here, I'm actually going to do a demonstration in just a moment of the VoiceOver screen reader, which should give you a good overview, and I'll walk through that process as well. So I'm going to skip this video for the time being. Know you can go to access.ninja to see it, but I'll give you a demonstration using a different screen reader in just a moment, because I don't want anybody to miss out on this particular section. So we will come back to that in just a moment. So JAWS, the screen reader, one of the most popular screen readers, which stands for Job Access with Speech. It has been around for a very long time and is on the Windows platform, one of the most popular screen readers. The most recent version even includes OCR support. So with JAWS, using typical keyboard navigation, using a typical keyboard navigation, you can get around the computer. It has its own special commands for reading sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, word by word, and it has built-in OCR support, which is very useful when somebody sends a PDF to somebody. So we're quite a few people in the office that use JAWS as their preferred screen reader, and people get into the habit of thinking that all PDFs, which have a lot of text on them, are inherently accessible. But sometimes PDFs get sent out that are basically just scans of text. So it would be a photograph of text, not actual digital text. And oftentimes when a screen reader receives a PDF like this, they cannot read it. But JAWS has a built-in OCR, or optical character recognition software, that will actually scan that PDF for text and actually make it readable, which is really nice. It also has a built-in DAISY reader for reading DAISY books, and includes some rather advanced controls specifically for web navigation, but also for working with Microsoft Word and the other Office programs as well. Now, JAWS comes in two versions, a home and a professional version. The home version starts at $895 and the professional's at $1,095. The professional comes with some additional scripting and power tools. And you can find out a lot more about JAWS from the Freedom Scientific website. Like I said, we're going to give you a demonstration in just a moment of what exactly a screen reader looks like. So if you're not exactly sure how one of those works, stick with me for just a moment. And when we get to the voiceover section, I'll give you a nice demo. Another really popular open source screen reader out there is one called NVDA, which stands for Non-Visual Desktop Access. This is an open source project. It is completely free, and it uses similar navigation or controls to JAWS, although they are different. And has a much smaller development team than JAWS does, but they are consistently updated. In fact, NVDA is going to have support for the new Windows 10 as soon as it launches and becomes available. So very, very up to date. So some of the users and customers that I work with have restricted budgets. And NVDA has been a good resource for those who can't afford a more expensive screen reader or want to try one for an extended period of time. Now, JAWS does have a demo version that will actually allow you to run it for about 40 minutes before every time you run your computer. So you can get a good feel for it. But when introducing someone to a screen reader and I want them to have a lot of practice, sometimes we'll put them into NVDA so that they can access it at all hours of the day, don't have to worry about restarting. But there's another creative application for NVDA that I've had a couple customers use. In fact, just recently I was working with one who was very low vision, but was using the built-in magnifier in Windows, but every once in a while needed to have some text read out loud, oftentimes on a case-by-case basis. But adding controls or additional software was particularly difficult for him. So instead, what we did is we loaded NVDA onto his computer. And one of the functions that you can turn on in NVDA is to read any text that's placed underneath the cursor. So he could move the mouse on top of where he could see text was, but that was too small to read, and hover it there for a moment, and it would actually read that text out loud. So in the cases of looking at an article on the web and having some sort of text be too small, or a button somewhere in a user interface that was too small to read, he could just move his cursor over the icon, over the text, and have it read out in a matter of moments. Now, this is not, there are several other programs that do offer reading text under the cursor. And in some cases, NVDA supplies almost too much information. If you've ever tried to use Narrator on Windows, you'll notice every time you open up a new program, it declares which program opened and gives you the title information, which can be very useful if you're not sure what window or what's going on the screen. But if you're just looking for some extra text-to-speech support, that can be too much audio support and can be, frankly, a bit annoying for someone who doesn't need that level of detail. But for this user who needed that audio support to announce when pop-ups appeared, to announce when windows changed, and to allow him to find and read text on the screen, but without having to use all the keyboard and controls that you would find in a full-fledged being dedicated keyboard access on a screen reader, this was a huge, huge asset to him. And we've actually used this for a couple of individuals. And being free, it was the perfect price for these individuals as well. it was easy to try. Another screen reader that's rather popular is called Window Eyes. So Window Eyes has a different navigation layout than JAWS or NVDA. So someone who's switching from one screen reader to another might find the control scheme a little harder to learn just because it's different. But if it's your first time reading learning a screen reader, you'll find you won't have too much trouble learning it. It's not that it's complicated, it's that it's different. Window Eyes has gone out of its way to optimize itself for use with Microsoft Office as a screen reader. And typically, Window Eyes is about $895. But they recently cut a deal with Microsoft so that if you have a version of Office 2010 or later and have a certified vision or print-related disability, you can actually get Window Eyes for free, which has made it particularly appealing. Now, Window Eyes used to be made by a company called GW Micro, but they recently joined AI Squared. But you will still find all of Window Eyes' information at gwmicro.com. We don't have as many users on Window Eyes, but it being a very high level and excellent screen reader, and a lot of users who want to do writing using Microsoft Office, it's become a much more appealing option. So we're seeing it appear more and more often because of this deal. Now, like I said, there's a lot of screen readers out there, and all of them have their own advantages and disadvantages. I've had people ask me which one is the best screen reader, but quite frankly, not a fair question. Each one of them has its own unique way of interacting with it. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned both the Supernova screen reader provided by Dolphin and System Access by Cerotech. Supernova is about $795, and System Access comes with is a $399, so a little bit cheaper than some of the other screen readers. And it has a mobile version, which is $499, which allows you to run it take it with you on a USB stick or access it through the web. So these are also very good screen readers. I don't see them with the customers used quite as often, but they've got a very dedicated user base. I just wanted to give them honorable mention if I didn't talk about them as much. So that covers the screen readers that are available for Windows. Apple, who makes the Macintosh computers, has a built-in screen reader that comes with both their computers and their mobile devices called VoiceOver. So unlike Windows, which doesn't have a full-fledged screen reader built into it, but has several third-party ones to choose from, VoiceOver is actually built directly into the operating system. So this gives it some distinct advantages and disadvantages as well. So with a Apple-made computer, a blind person can walk over to any of their laptops or desktop computers, press Command F5, and activate a screen reader without any pre-setup, without any assistance whatsoever. So this gives them absolute access to any Mac by just sitting down at it and knowing this keyboard shortcut. So that's been one of the biggest advantages to VoiceOver, that and that it's built into the operating system, which gives developers a lot of tools they can use to modify their apps and ensure they work well with the screen reader. The notable disadvantage for VoiceOver versus the Windows platform is that there's no competition. Since Apple built the VoiceOver directly into their operating system and it's system-wide, we don't see any other companies coming around to create a competitor. So they do have a monopoly as far as screen readers go on the Mac. So some distinct advantages, but also lack of competition sometimes makes it a little bit difficult for new and innovative features to show up. But they do have an amazing development team that are constantly updating VoiceOver, and there are improvements at literally every single OS update. You can find a lot of information about VoiceOver on Apple's website at apple.com/accessibility, where they have extensive documentation about how VoiceOver works. So we're doing a lot of talking, and now I want to give you a quick demonstration. And I'm going to demonstrate the way the VoiceOver screen reader works on a web page. So this is going to be accessed in a very similar way, actually, to the way JAWS navigates, with just some slightly different keyboard shortcuts. But it should give you a general idea of what using a screen reader on a computer is like. So I'm going to switch over and show you my web browser here. And I'm doing a little trick to get the audio to work properly, so bear with me here. So I've got a web page preloaded up here, and I'm going to turn on VoiceOver, which I do by pressing Command F5 on my keyboard.
VoiceOver on Safari, Yellow-Bellied Marmot, Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia window, Yellow-Bellied Marmot, Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia.
I have a website for the Yellow-Bellied Marmot, which might seem like an odd choice, but I was recently on a trip to Colorado and we saw a ton of these, so I had to look up and find out more about them. So by pressing Command F5, I've activated VoiceOver on this computer. Now, what you might not be able to see is, in addition to speaking the text, it also displays closed caption style, the text, anything VoiceOver reads at the bottom. And I can also turn on a function where it shows me what this would look like in Braille, as the VoiceOver has built-in support for Bluetooth Braille displays. So does these screen readers on Windows as well. So to navigate this web page and have it read to me, I could just arrow through the web page. So to control VoiceOver, I would hit Control Option and then the arrows. If I was on a Windows computer with JAWS, I would just use the arrows up and down to move through a web page. But considering how complicated and how detailed certain web pages appear on the internet now, that can be a rather inefficient way of getting the computer to read what I need to have read on it. So oftentimes the user is going to be using shortcuts to jump around the page. A really good example for a web page is to navigate the web page through headers. So if you're not familiar with the term header in the context of a web page, that's going to be text that is bold, usually a bit larger, and is basically headlines. Like in a newspaper, you can think of the headlines as the headers of that page. So to navigate through headers, I'm going to hold down the VoiceOver keys. So what I'm doing is holding down Control and Option. And then I'm going to add Command. And while holding down all three of these Command keys, each time I press the letter H for header, it will read to me each new header on the page.
Heading Level 1, Yellow-Bellied Marmot. Heading Level 2, Contents. Heading Level 2, 4 Items. Description, left bracket, lit. Heading Level 2, 4 Items. Habitat and Distribution.
So I just found my way to the Habitat and Distribution section, and I want to begin reading that here. So I'm going to use the VoiceOver keys, Control and Option, and I'm going to use the arrow keys to the right to read through it in sections.
The Yellow-Bellied Marmot lives in the link, Western United States and Southwestern link, Canada, including the link, Rocky Mountains, and the link, Sierra Nevada.
So as I arrow through here, it's going to read to me each section of text. It's going to stop on each of the links, which gives me a chance to click on those links and learn more about that particular topic. I can also navigate this web page by isolating the links specifically, and there are commands for reading all the contents of it, where it will just read through without pausing in each section. I can read by paragraph, by sentence. There's a whole variety of keyboard shortcuts that allow me to read just the way I want to read. I can also move to the menu bar, to the dock. There's a variety of keyboard shortcuts that let me do all of those things. So using the screen reader, I can navigate most web pages, jump around to the content I'm looking for, and have it read out loud. So I'm going to turn off VoiceOver here.
VoiceOver off.
And switch us back to the slides here for just a moment. There we go. Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw that note that the web page is not showing on the screen, and the audio was playing a little bit fast there. I'm going to be demoing in just a moment the VoiceOver screen reader. I've got that voice set up quite a bit slower, and I hope that that helps as well. So, and I do have a question that is VoiceOver similar to Windows 7 or Haier's ease of access tools? And VoiceOver, so Windows 7 has a variety of ease of access tools, a screen reader, a very basic screen reader called the Narrator. It has dictation, some other tools. The VoiceOver is a lot more, is specifically aimed for blind and low vision users and is a lot more robust than what you find in the ease of access tools on Windows. Narrator is mostly one that uses Windows' built-in keyboard navigation, but I don't have the variety of tools for advanced reading and advanced navigation. So it's quite a bit more advanced than that. But Windows does have a great selection of accessibility tools and ease of access that is worth exploring as well. So I hope that answers your question here. So we talked a little bit about desktop screen readers. Let's talk about mobile screen readers. So there's been a large proliferation of these touchscreen devices. So these would be your phones and your tablets. And one of the advantages of this cool new technology is that you can basically make a user interface, so buttons and pictures, in any way you can possibly imagine. There's no physical buttons to deal with. But as a disadvantage, the iPad is just, or iPhone or any of these tablets or smartphones are just basically a large piece of glass, which poses some unique challenges for individuals who cannot access the screen visually. Because Apple had gone and done the work of creating a screen reader for their desktop, they transferred it over to their iOS devices as well. So it's also called VoiceOver, and it can be activated in the Settings app under Accessibility, or if you have Siri activated, you can actually hold down the Home button on your iPad or iPhone and ask Siri to launch VoiceOver for you. You say Start VoiceOver or End VoiceOver. That means just like on the Mac computers, a blind user can pick up any iPhone or iPad and activate the screen reader without the need of any assistance. So from 2004 to 2008 or so, I actually did work at an Apple store for a while. And I'm going to say if the employees are not as familiar about VoiceOver, try going into the store and turning it on and trying it out yourself, and see if the employees can figure out what to do about it. They're getting a lot better though, especially with the Apple Watch coming out. They usually have a good staff member who can walk you through some basics there. But I once said that true accessibility is when a blind person can successfully steal your phone without needing your help. Means that they can basically turn on VoiceOver on any of their iOS devices here. I'm going to give us a demonstration of what VoiceOver looks like for iOS, but we'll also discuss Android's TalkBack screen reader as well in just a moment. So let me switch us over to my iPhone, and we will turn on VoiceOver and give you a very brief demonstration here. And just give me one moment. I'm turning on application sharing, and it's telling me that it's waiting for it to start here. So give me just one moment, and we'll... Seem to be having a little trouble getting the application sharing to start here. If it doesn't come up in a second, then we will come back to that and I'll talk through it a little bit first. All right. I had a little trouble with the application sharing, so we're going to do this demo anyways, though, because if we'll give you a more genuine experience of what it's like to be a blind user using VoiceOver. So we're going to drop the visual, but I'm going to keep the audio going so you can hear what VoiceOver sounds like here. So I'm going to activate VoiceOver on an iPhone I have here, and you should be able to hear the audio.
VoiceOver on, identifiers folder, 5 apps, 12%.
And I'm going to turn that speech down nice and slow so it's easy for everyone to follow here. So, okay. So, if I wanted to, let me actually activate
VoiceOver
Siri.
VoiceOver off.
Let me activate VoiceOver from the very beginning with Siri. So I'm just going to go to my phone. I'm going to hold down the home button. Turn on VoiceOver.
Okay, I turned on VoiceOver.
So I've got VoiceOver activated on my phone. And of course, now I'm having some audio problems here. Well, we can work around this.
Phone. Double tap to open.
Okay, so I'm just going to reposition my phone here and try my audio a little differently. But we will persevere here. So, I've got my phone with VoiceOver turned on. And I'm going to go and visit a web page using the Safari app.
Safari. Double tap to open.
So when you're navigating on a phone or tablet using VoiceOver, instead of using the keyboard, I'm going to be using gestures. So basically, to navigate through a web page, I'm going to swipe to the right.
Search Wikipedia app last edited one day ago by London. Look, watch this page. World War II, heck, the Second World War, and WWII redirect here.
It will read everything step by step as I swipe through. If I just touch my finger anywhere on the screen, it will read whatever I touched. And there are special gestures for navigating around the iPhone.
Chronology, heading level 2.
For instance, I have my phone set up so that when you swipe down or up on the screen, it jumps through the headers on web pages. So very similar to the navigation method I use on my desktop computer. If I swipe down, I've got chronology. If I swipe to the right.
Background, heading level 2. Pre-war events, heading level 2.
I can double tap.
Pre-war events, Italian invasion of Ethiopia, pre-war landscape.
So it will allow me to navigate and move around the a website, an app. And what's nice about VoiceOver is just like I mentioned for VoiceOver on the Mac, it is built into the operating system. So when a developer creates a button inside of an app, and if they forget to label that button, so let's say it's a picture that represents creating a new note in a notes writing app, for example, that developer can select that button in their developer tool, and there's literally a section for accessibility in the developer kit that Apple provides where they can type in a description. So if you do run across apps, especially ones in the iOS store that don't work with VoiceOver, it can be a simple process for developers to fix those types of accessibility issues because it's so tightly integrated. So VoiceOver can also be used as a basic text-to-speech functionality on the phone, where anything we touch, it does read it out loud, but it also changes the way you navigate the phone. So it requires practice in order to learn. There are some built-in text-to-speech features that don't require a lot of complicated gestures that can be used on a case-by-case basis, and we'll take a look at those a little bit later. So iOS is not the only mobile platform with a screen reader. Android operating system developed by Google. Google developed their own screen reader for Android called TalkBack. TalkBack has a similar interaction style to VoiceOver, where I can touch anything on the screen, hear it read out loud. I can use swipes to the left and to the right to turn things on and off. And it's available in settings on most Android devices. They've been developing it, but it didn't come pre-installed in their operating system until, I believe, version 3.5 or version 4. So you'll find it in settings on most Android devices, but if you do not find it there, it can be downloaded from the Google Play Store and added to any device. It doesn't have as many gestures, and it doesn't have as robust keyboard support as VoiceOver, but it is also an excellent screen reader used by several people in my office as well, and they find it to be a good experience as well. So to get away from strictly screen reading software, let's talk a little bit about magnification with text-to-speech. So these are tools that used very often in low vision situations, which will make text on the screen larger. And many of these programs will also offer some speech support, either reading menus and toolbars or offering that hovering your cursor on top of hovering your cursor on top of things to have it read out loud. One of the most popular in our office is a program called ZoomText, ZoomText Magnifier and Reader. What this program does is it allows the user to zoom in on text at a very high magnification level. Re-renders the text on the screen so that at any magnification level, the text is crisp. Because you might be thinking, if you've worked with magnification before, Windows actually has a built-in magnifier, and so does the Mac. In fact, on most Windows computers, if you hold on the Windows and then hit the plus key in the number pad section, it will actually turn on a magnifier and begin magnifying the screen. What makes ZoomText different is when you magnify using the built-in Windows magnifier, the closer you get, the more distorted the text becomes. It's basically stretching the pixels out. And what ZoomText does is it re-smooths the text to make it nice and crisp even at really high magnification levels. But on top of that, it also has a thorough text-to-speech software program, which will read text underneath the cursor, or has a special feature called the App Reader, which will actually pull the text out of an application or a web page and isolate it and give you reading controls for it. This can be this can give you some pretty advanced audio and text-to-speech features on top of some nice magnification. I'm going to see if I can get my application sharing to start working again here. And it's not cooperating with me right now. Let me just jump over here, and there is a slight typo on this particular slide. I apologize. I did not catch it until late last night, so we didn't have time enough to get it before we sent out the slides to everyone here. But this headline should actually be MAGIC, with a capital M-A-G, lowercase I-C. It's another really popular magnifier with reading tools. It's made by Freedom Scientific, the same organization that makes the JAWS screen reader. It has a very similar feature set where it will re-render text and offers a lot of audio support, where it will read new menus as they come up, pull out text from web pages and read it in detail. Very, very good magnifier as well. Also very, very similarly priced. The closest comparison, because I think they're both excellent products, the differentiator that we often run into when selecting one versus the other will often be dependent on the person, whether or not the person thinks they might transition to a screen reader like JAWS. If this person might potentially switch to a screen reader, or might potentially switch to JAWS, a lot of the keyboard shortcuts and reading methods are the same in JAWS as they are in MAGIC. So we will oftentimes put them on MAGIC so that if they need the transition, it's an easier transition for them. But ZoomText is also an excellent text-to-speech and magnifier as well. The Apple operating system has its own built-in magnifier called Apple Zoom that can be used to magnify the screen. Now, it does not re-render text at high magnification levels. It does have some basic font smoothing, so it smooths out fonts when they get really big, but it doesn't have the clarity that you get with Zoom Text or MAGIC. They do make a version of ZoomText for Mac, but it does not have the full text smoothing feature. So we do have a lot of people using, who need magnification using Apple Zoom. But it does have another trick up its sleeve, and that is Apple Zoom can be used to turn on a feature that allows you to read text underneath the cursor, just like I talked about in NVDA and is a standard feature in both MAGIC and ZoomText. In order to turn this on, you have to turn a style of magnification called picture-in-picture mode in the system preferences under accessibility under Zoom. This allows you to access an advanced section where you can turn on read text under cursor after delay. I intended on showing you a demonstration of this, but you can find out more about it at apple.com/accessibility, as my sharing appears to not be working. But it's a great feature. If you have access to a Mac, just go into System Preferences, Accessibility, and Zoom, turn on Picture-in-Picture mode, and click on the Advanced Settings. You'll find Read Text Under Cursor. And that picture-in-picture, instead of magnifying the entire screen, it just magnifies a portion of the screen. But if you'd like it to magnify the entire screen and give you that text under cursor, you can actually modify the picture-in-picture window so it just fills the entire screen. I've done it several times for a handful of people that we've worked with that have these machines. So that's Apple. That is Apple Zoom. Like I said, we'll skip the demonstration. Yeah, we'll skip the demonstration for the time being here. So let's talk about some built-in reading tools that come with iOS that would be used by a student or an adult who does not require the advanced features that you'll find inside of the VoiceOver feature. One of these features is called Speak Selection. So Speak Selection, which can be turned on in the Settings app under Accessibility in a section called Speech, allows the user to highlight text on the screen and have it read on a case-by-case basis. Now, it only works in apps that allow you to highlight or select text. So you'll see this in a lot of book apps like iBooks, websites, note-taking apps, Apple's WordPress processing suite, like Pages, Keynote, Numbers. Most programs that allow you to highlight text support this feature. And on a web page, you highlight text just by holding your finger on top of the words. When you release, it will highlight that single word and allow you to increase or decrease your selection. You need to select more than one word in order for Speak Selection to show up as an option. So you'll tap and hold on a word, release to select it, and then drag the little blue lines to choose which section you'd like to have read. When you do that, a black box will appear above your selection that says Speak. In addition to being able to read English, the built-in Speak Selection will also recognize languages and will speak Spanish in a Spanish voice and French in a French voice. And you can even in English choose an accent if you want or the quality of voice you'd like to have read out loud. So this will only, like I mentioned before, only work in applications where text is selectable. So if there's a button on the screen, oftentimes the button's text is not selectable, so it will not read those types of elements on the screen. Now, there's also a relatively new feature in iOS called Speak Screen. Now, you can also find this in Settings, Accessibility, under the Speech section. And what this does is it allows you to use a new gesture, which is dragging two fingers straight down from the top of the screen. When teaching people to do this, I often have them place their fingers on that beveled edge, the black edge, above the phone or above the iPad, and then drag your fingers down onto the screen. What this will do is make the iPad look at text that's on the screen and will have it begin reading it automatically. And it will even try to skip unnecessary things. So, for example, if you have a web page loaded up in Safari and you drag two fingers down, it's not going to read what's in the address bar. It's not going to read the buttons, which is what VoiceOver would do. It's going to skip straight to the content. If you're in an email and you drag two fingers down, it's just going to read the email itself. It's not going to read the listing of the other email messages, just the core content. If you're in iBooks, it will start reading from the top of that page, and when it reaches the end of the page, it will also turn the page automatically for you. This also works inside of the Kindle app and other book reading apps. So it gives you a continuous text-to-speech option. Also, in Accessibility Speech, you can choose to have it highlight the words as it reads them, making it easier to follow along with the voice. It does not work in all applications, and it does not work in all situations. So if sometimes you might find that you drag two fingers down in an app, and because it can't identify what is the core body text in this app, it will tell you no content is found. So if you turn it on and you're in the iPad home screen, for example, the list of all the apps, and you drag two fingers down, it will not read the list of apps that are there. It's mainly for book reading, web pages, and in word processing situations. But it's built in, and it's really easy to learn and really easy to do. And I intended to give you a demonstration, but I'm going to move on for the moment being. So the third category, the next category to talk about, is these OCR apps, or optical character recognition. So generally speaking, when we're using text-to-speech tools, having text that's already digital is going to be the easy and most accessible way to be able to read text on the screen. But sometimes there is materials that are not provided or not available in a digital format to begin with. So these might be a good example of specifically the way that I have them used for my customers is we might get mail that we cannot independently read. We might have a magazine we've been reading our entire life, but now we've lost our vision and we're not able to get that magazine in a digital format, and it was something that was very important to us. We want to be able to keep reading. It could be an old handout from a classroom. So from time to time, we will run into these, and we need to have tools to read that content. So first, we're going to start with some of the mobile applications that are used for the scan and read programs. There's three particular OCR style programs that get a lot of use amongst the customers I work with. The first one, and one of the more famous in the blind community, is the KNFB Reader. And the K actually stands for Kurzweil, if you've used the, and we'll talk about the Kurzweil software in just a moment. And the NFB is the National Federation for the Blind. They teamed up to make a mobile version of their KNFB Reader, which was previously a phone device that you could purchase that had a built-in camera where you could take an image of text and have it read to you very, very quickly. This is the app version of that, and it's come down in price significantly from when you had to buy a whole device. So it isn't expensive for an app in the context of the 99-cent, 199, 499 apps that are out there. But at $99, it is high for that, but comparison to devices and standalone devices you might purchase that do this functionality, it is actually quite a steal when you compare it to those. Now, the KNFB Reader uses a OCR engine created by an organization called Abby, and they make a program called Abby Fine Reader, which we'll talk about in a moment. But Abby makes another program called Text Grabber. And Text Grabber uses the same OCR engine as the KNFB Reader, but doesn't have some of the advanced recognition software that they've built into it, which allows KNFB Reader to be a little bit more generous when we're not holding our hand perfectly straight or we're not sure where the document is and we need instructions. Text Grabber is very bare bones. It's only $5. You take a picture of a document and it will recognize the text and turn it into editable text on the iPhone, which can be read back using either VoiceOver or Speak Screen or Speak Selection as well. It can also be emailed out of the app and back to a desktop computer. So it allows you to pull text from a printed document. You'll find a lot of the recognition quality between KNFB Reader and Text Grabber to be fairly similar since they do use the same engine. But where KNFB Reader's extra value for it's $100 versus $5 is giving blind users a lot of support to make sure that you're pointed in the right direction, to be more generous at images that were not taken perfectly, and to be able to identify text from the background. So, for instance, KNFB Reader is set up to be able to take pictures of street signs and read them back to you, which is a lot of extra information in the background that that is able to filter through. But if you're looking for pulling text out, and one of the highest qualities of OCR you're going to find on the iOS platform, TextGrabber for $5 is a real steal. Now, another program that started showing up, and quite a few people that I visited have actually installed it because it's free, is an app called Voice. In fact, the whole name of the app is Voice, Take a Picture and Have It Spoken. And you do have to write in that whole name, that whole name to find it in the App Store, because Voice by itself will give you a lot of extra results. So Voice was actually made by a student, and it uses an OCR engine that Google created, an open source one, sometimes referred to as Tesseract. What happens with their app is you take a picture of a document, it sends that photo up to a server that converts it into that runs the Tesseract engine, converts it into text, sends it back, and Voice immediately reads the app back to you. Now, Voice does not give you the text. It simply reads what it out loud in a voice what has been taken a picture, what you've taken a picture of. Doesn't give you as much control, but it's free. And I have had a lot of people use it to a way of identifying things. Now, it is not even close to the recognition quality of TextGrabber or the KNFB reader. I did several head-to-head comparisons, and I've even got one set up for us here to do. And I found that the recognition quality is much better in KNFB Reader and TextGrabber. But if you need to identify what a letter is, you need to identify who this envelope is addressed to, and a little bit of erroneous data is not going to throw you off. Voice is going to be a good choice for free. It also has an auto capture mode where once it identifies that there is a piece of paper or document in front of it, it will automatically take the picture and begin processing. Voice, though, because it's using a server to do the work, does require an internet connection in order to work, where KNFB Reader and TextGrabber does the work on the phone and does not require an internet connection. And both KNFB Reader and TextGrabber allow you to reuse, edit, or share the text that you've captured. So you get quite a bit more from those apps. But Voice has been very, very popular for people, especially on a restricted budget, or just need to casually be able to get text-to-speech from time to time. I'm going to try one more time to get my application sharing to work, because I'd love to give you a comparison between these apps.
Identifiers. Hold VoiceOver off.
It doesn't look like it's going to work for me here. Well, I'm going to actually move along then. And if we have time, we'll have some time at the end for questions, and I'll maybe give us a couple audio demos for those who are curious about it, the results. I can give you some live results here. But we'll come back to that. So on the desktop, there's a variety of OCR programs out there that have been very popular and can offer, in many cases, actually superior OCR technology than you're going to find in mobile. Mobile is restricted to the quality of the camera on the phone or device. And without hooking up to a scanner, creating an image, uploading it to your phone, and then importing it to the readers, you're going to find that the desktop with a desktop scanner are going to give you the absolute best results. Now, I mentioned Abby, who runs the engine that works with TextGrabber and the KNFB Reader. They have a desktop version of their software program called Abby Fine Reader. Abby Fine Reader has been a very popular in that it has excellent recognition and does a really good job with complicated layouts. For instance, magazines, which might have images and quotes and text, it does a good job of separating those out and in many times being able to pull the text out in an order that is sensical. For the PC, you can pick up a copy of Abbey Fine Reader for about $170, and they have a Mac version for about $120. The PC version has a lot more advanced recognition software, which is why the price is higher. You will find that same great OCR recognition technology in the Mac side, and you will find that really good layout engine, but the PC offers some much more advanced software tools in addition to the Mac version. But like I said, if you're going from basic page to page, you're going to find both versions of it run the same. Those Abbey Fine Reader, although functional in screen readers, are not really optimized for blind users. So there, another popular OCR program that we see a lot in schools and in the education settings and college settings is made by Kurzweil Education, a program called Kurzweil. And it comes in two versions, a 3000 and a 1000 version. The 1000 version is designed specifically for blind and low vision users, where the 3000 version is designed more for students and has a lot of additional tools designed specifically towards towards education, with built-in word prediction for writing. It has significantly more writing tools, built-in mind mapping tool, and more. Kurzweil has one of the best OCR engines available. Has a really good recognition quality and does a good job with complicated layouts, but is also a significantly larger financial investment than the consumer side software like Abbey Fine Reader. OmniPage has also been popular among the customers I work with. It's $150. It's made by Nuance, who is also the makers of Dragon Naturally Speaking. It also has an excellent OCR engine. They do make a much more expensive professional version, but the professional version gives you a lot of extra software support. Many of the users I've worked with have found the $150 version has more than met their needs. It's from OmniPage, I can export a scan document into a Word document, into a PDF that's readable, and we've used it to convert handouts and materials at work into a readable format. Kurzweil, on the other hand, uses its own native format that is able to retain the exact look of the document in Kurzweil 3000, pictures and all. But it does not have as many export options. And Abbey Fine Reader, like OmniPage, has similar export options. I scan a document in, it can save it as a PDF or as an editable Word document. So it gives me a lot of flexibility with my scanned documents. Now, we have had a couple users who needed a low-cost OCR program for the desktop that would work, but some of those software programs are just outside of the price range for the people that that I serve. So I did discover a OCR program called Free OCR from a website, paperfile.net. And just like the Voices app, it uses the Tesseract recognition engine, which is open source, for free. And it integrates with a scanner. So I would place a document in my scanner. It scans it, and it pulls the text out. So I don't end up with a properly formatted Word document or properly formatted PDF. What I end up with is just the text that was on the page. Also, like Voice, it is it's more likely to have issues with its recognition. We're making mistakes. So it's not really a great tool in the education setting where accuracy is going to be absolutely imperative. You might find yourself having to make a lot of corrections automatically if you're doing it for a student or for another individual, or if you're doing it, if individuals using it on their own, they're going to find errors in there which could cause confusion. So it has been a good tool for a couple of our customers who need to identify what an object is, what the text is, or get an idea for its contents. And in the perfect scenarios, it actually does have a really good recognition. If it's just plain up, size 12 font on a page, it does really good, near perfect accuracy. But if there's anything that throws it off, it can be prone to errors and mistakes. There's also, on the Mac, a less expensive, although not free tool, is a software program called Prismo. Prismo is a low-cost OCR program that will pull the text out of a document, gives you some nice exporting options, but at a lower price. Its recognition engine is not as good as Kurzweil's or Abbey Fine Readers there's a significant difference between them, although Prismo, once again, like free OCR, you throw at it some nice predictable text and it can do a good job of recognizing. It does also handle advanced layouts like newspapers or magazines and does do read orders, which kind of justifies its extra price. It does have an iOS version that is $10, although comparatively, we found that TextGrabber tends to have better recognition and it's a lower price. But it is an excellent application in and of itself. So there's one more type of text-to-speech tool we want to talk about, and then we will move on to taking questions here, and that is software tools allow you to highlight and read exactly what on the page you want to have read. So this would work for web pages, PDFs that are accessible, Word documents, any text that is selectable and highlightable on the computer. Now there's a small typo on this page here. The first tool which I'm going to talk about is Natural Reader, which is available for free, but they also have additional and professional versions that offer more voices, MP3 audio export of whatever text is on the screen, so convert your text to an audio file you can put on a mobile player. It does come with a basic free version, but the advanced versions range from $50 to $100 all the way up to $195 being the largest package that they offer with the most features. Natural Readers allows you to, as a small window that appears on the screen that allows you to highlight any text on the computer and hit a play button and have it read out loud. And it doesn't highlight as it reads on your document, but it does pull the text out into a separate window and highlights it as it reads along so you can follow. So Natural Readers is they select any text, the computer that is selectable, hit the play button, plays back, starts out as free. It's a good place to start. Another web-based tool that I've seen a lot of students using is a program called Snap and Read by Don Johnston. And they scale their pricing for schools, so pricing does vary heavily depending on how many users are using it. If it's just an individual, is it a site license? So you'll want to go and check with them for exact pricing. Snap and Read Snap and Read Universal is a Chrome plugin that allows you to highlight text that and have it read out loud. Kind of like Natural Reader, but
in the event that you have text that is not selectable or is a picture of text, you can highlight that content all the same. It runs a quick character recognition engine across it and reads it out loud and highlights it for you. So Snap and Read, we've seen a couple students use it who are using web-based curriculum, and some of the materials, most of the material is accessible, but occasionally there'll be some images or text, or it'll tell them go to a web page and there'll be logos and other information and it's not accessible. They can, with Snap and Read, you can make anything readable just by highlighting it and hitting the play button. So it's it's a really good tool for if you're worried about the predictability of especially web content. Apple also has a built-in highlight and read feature, which you can find under System Preferences, Accessibility. That's actually its own category. It's not an accessibility. It's just System Preferences. A section is called Speech and Dictation. In Speech and Dictation, you can set up your own keyboard shortcut. So you can highlight any text on the computer, press this keyboard shortcut that you create, and it will read that text out loud. It's built in. You just have to go in and activate it. So I tended to give you a demo on there, but I think we walked it through in detail here. I apologize for the desktop sharing not working for me here. But we're just about out of time, and I want to move on to the questions that we might have. So there is in the bottom left corner a chat window where you can type things in. I'm going to take a look at that and try to answer questions as they come in. So I do have a question that's, how do these compare to Adobe Acrobat when doing OCR? And it must be in reference to the OCR software referred to. The Adobe Acrobat was Adobe Acrobat Pro. Using those tools for doing OCR, I do know a couple of people who use Adobe Acrobat for their OCR work, and do find the quality to be excellent. I have found that with programs like Avi Fine Reader, let me jump back to that desktop here. I have found that with programs like OmniPage and Fine Reader, I found them to have pretty close to the highest level of accuracy when dealing with very complicated layouts like magazines and newspapers. But Acrobat is right up in the same category. I don't have a lot of personal experience because that's not been the software program that the clients that I've been working with have been using. But I do know a couple people personally who use it with who absolutely love Adobe Acrobat. That's about the best answer I can give you just because I haven't been able to give it a good test. I have a question here in relation to, a lot of things have been blind and low vision and no text to speech. A question, but what about those of us with dexterity impairments, Dragon? What are other options for speech input and voice control? And I do believe there's going to be an upcoming webinar that focuses on that in greater detail. We do have, I do work with a lot of clients who have difficulty with the keyboard or have either from a physical or dexterity impairment, or it's just somebody who's lost their vision very quickly and is not a touch typist and wants to dictate. We've had a handful of people find some good success with Windows' built-in dictation. Windows Vista 7 and 8 and Alchemy 10 has a built-in dictation feature that we've had a couple people use in lieu of relying strictly on the keyboard. And then they've used some of these text-to-speech tools for the reviewal process. Nuance makes Dragon naturally speaking, which is a definite step up in recognition quality over that of the built-in dictation, although you'd be surprised the Windows dictation, which comes for free on those computers, is actually been very good. Although Dragon offers a professional version that, in addition to strictly giving you the ability to read to the computer and have it write, gives you some advanced controls for voice navigation. Although the built-in Windows dictation is also gives you very good navigation as well. So the Windows dictation can be found in ease of access. So if you go to the control panels, go to ease of access, you can find dictation. You just need a good headset to get that going. Dragon is available, I think for Windows, the home version starts all the way up to 50, but if you want and has some basic navigation controls, so being able to say like open Microsoft Word, they have a professional or premium version that allows you to actually create your own custom commands and gives you a lot more controls than Dragon. Apple has built-in dictation as well in the last two versions of their operating system that is just used strictly for writing. It does not have as close to the recognition quality as Dragon, but it is a good starting point as well. Another person asked, how is NVDA staff paid if it is for free? Which is an excellent question. They actually make money off of donations. When you go to download the app for the first time, they'll ask you to give them a donation, any amount that you think is appropriate for the software program. So they do get a lot of donation and grants. It is a product that is used by its creators. So part of the motivation to keeping NVDA a really good option for screen readers is that they are their own users. So that's sort of the motivation and the financial backing for NVDA. So I have another question here from Jennifer. It says, iPlan exhibits in museums and visitor centers. It seems like the accessibility tools have changed dramatically for people with visual disabilities. Is it still important for museums to offer hardware for reading, hardware for reading text, or is it more important to provide readable text for visitors with readers? That's an excellent question. There's been a lot of really cool new technology out there, but the problem is not all low vision or blind users are not necessarily tech proficient. So there might be, if through your website or through other resources or even through an app that might give you audible navigation through a museum, you might find a lot of users really benefit from that. But you'll find that actually the majority of blind users that I work with are seniors. And many of them haven't grown up with this technology and aren't as advanced at using it. So, you know, still providing tools to those individuals is going to be really important because there is still a big divide over the tech savvy and the not tech savvy. Because you might find a user is able to use their own reader or use their own app or their own device, but it's just not something that is common enough or something that we can assume enough. So I still think it's just as important to provide hardware for reading text in those situations. It is really cool to be able to provide a more advanced option, but even though we talked about these cool tools, not everybody knows how to use them. In fact, I'd say a majority are still just discovering them. I've got another question here that's a very good question that I'd have to look into, which is I need to make blueprints more reader-friendly for visual impaired students. Any ideas? That's an excellent question, and I actually like to talk to some of my my coworkers about that, to because I might have some pretty good ideas. So I'm going to flip my slide over. This is my final slide. It's got an email address, jcampbell@loveittobits.com, and my Twitter handle, which is @jhcampbell. Try to contact me through my email, and I'll see if I can follow up with more details, because I think that's something I'm going to need to research first, but it's a really interesting question.
For today, lots of lovely questions coming in right at the end, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge so kindly and so thoroughly. That was great. Although the demos didn't quite work as planned, certainly your coverage of them was great, and we really appreciate that. So unfortunately, that's the end of our time for questions. We do know that you may still have plenty of questions. So once again, Jonathan has put his contact information up on the screen, jcampbell@loveittobits.com, and his Twitter handle, which is jhcampbell. And also, please feel free to contact your regional ADA center, and the telephone number there is 800-949-4232. That's 800-949-4232. That is voice and TTY, and we would be very happy to answer any questions that that you might have from there. So just a reminder that our next session will be on September 17th, and there we're going to be coming back to one of everybody's favorite topics about how do I know if my PDF is accessible. Jonathan mentioned those a little bit today, and it is an ongoing issue that we do come back to periodically. So please join us again on September 17th for that one. And also, please remember that our session is being recorded, and you can access those archives at our website, which is http://ada-audio.org/archives/accessible-tech, they will be there. In addition, we do have an evaluation link that we're going to be sending around to everybody. Janet has put that in the chat room, and we would be very grateful if people would please let us have a look at your evaluations. Do fill in the evaluation form for us. I'm not going to read out that link because it is very long, but you will be getting that in a follow-up email from us. So please feel free to do that. And once again, Jonathan, thank you so much. And it looks like we are exactly on 12:30 right now, my time. So thanks to all of those of you who have joined us, and we look forward to seeing you on September 17th for our next webinar.